What is up? We are back. Tony in the Field.
Tony in the Field. Oh, my God. I love those guys.
So excited to be on Tony in the Field. Love the show.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I'm fired up. Preston, what's on the menu, brother?
The gloves are coming off.
James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Swoops. Dancing for the win! Texas is back, folks!
Indiana's 9 out of 12.
Oh! Gerald Green! That's a man's jam!
Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Tony in the Field coming to you on Monday, April 26th, 2021. I'm the Field, a.k.a. Preston Highfield. He is Tony, a.k.a. Big Tony, hanging out in San Diego, California. I am in Orange County, California. We are not far from each other at this very moment, and we are so, so pumped to be back with you guys ahead of the NFL draft, ahead of the Oregon football spring game. We'll also break down Fernando Tatis's tear against our Dodgers this weekend, the state of the Blazers, and we have a ton of audio coming up at the end of the show, including rehashing Jace Coburn of Portland State men's basketball and Kyle Shanahan of the San Francisco 49ers. Plus, Big Tony has a couple extra fun segments at the end, including Ellen, to wrap things up. What's up, Big Tony?
Yeah, I'm pumped about that. Who's selling one, Chief? There's a lot of folks out there selling these days. And the audio that he referenced, folks, we have a couple of early 2021 fake tough guy candidates of the year. And these are gold. You don't want to miss these. So stay tuned towards the end of the show and you'll hear our best sound bites of the last few days. Again, a couple of huge fake tough guys. Chief, we are back. We are all the way back like the SoCal bar scene, my man.
We are all the way back. I'm not sure Orange County really left. I mean, we have some dark red neighborhoods up here in OC. but generally speaking, Kate Brown would pass out, Tony, if she was down
could,
here.
Chief, could you imagine if Kate Brown walked in to Wild Goose?
No, I can't. Like, I can't. She'd probably call the cops. She would call the cops. That's probably what would happen. She would melt, and then Canzano would write about it, and then she would call the cops.
It's always Canzano, man. He always finds a way to get in there.
Yeah, Canzano's, like, if you click on the jump page of OregonLive.com, he's just been going in on Kate Brown this last week or so, and deservedly so, I might add, deservedly so. The SoCal bar scene, Tony, is all the way back, as are we. Let's get it cracking. Like I said, here's the run, folks. NFL draft on Thursday, state of the Blazers, Oregon football spring game, Fernando Tatis, audio with Jace Coburn, the Portland State men's basketball coach, Kyle Shanahan, Stephen A., Steph Curry, some chat there from Big Tony, who's selling, and some shout-outs to our fans and others to conclude the show. Tony, let's start with the draft. I know you and I, we enjoy watching the draft for sure. We're not going to do that segment where we go on and try to predict the first round or anything like that. I just think it's just obviously such a notable event that it's fun to talk about. We'll have a fellow Duck in Penei Sewell almost certainly going top 10, potentially even top 5. But I don't know, man. The thing that's sticking out about the draft to me this year is, dude, it's just year after year, the quarterback discussion just heightens. I mean, like a couple months ago, or I guess back in the season, like you would never expect Zach Wilson to go number 2, and he, according to all reports, is a complete lock to go number 2 to the Jets. Obviously, T-Law, one of the great quarterbacks I've seen, anyway, for my money in the last decade or so in college football, is going number 1. And then folks are saying at number 3, there's a strong chance the Niners are drafting Mac Jones or Trey Lance, reports are saying likely Mac Jones. What do you think about just kind of the way that this draft is shaking up, and more so, in my opinion, I guess, the last couple of years of just teams reaching quarterbacks past maybe an obvious number one like Lawrence is?
Yeah, Lawrence is the clear-cut number one by any measure. And it's Urban Meyer picking for the Jaguars, right? He's going to take Lawrence. He is. Urban Meyer is not dumb. He's one of the goats of college football, and he's going to pick Trevor Lawrence, and the Jags could be back. But after that, it's kind of a crapshoot, Chief. Number two, I've seen a lot of mocks with Zach Wilson. Deservedly so. That guy can flat out play. He's a stud. I watched a lot of BYU games this year because that was the Friday night game, Chief. Remember they used to beat up on those online colleges on Friday night ESPN, and Zach Wilson would go for like 500 total yards. Oh, good times. And then after that, it's even more unclear. I've seen a pretty even split for Justin Fields or Trey Lance for the three spot, and then sprinkle in some Mac Jones. So I really don't know what the Niners are doing, man. But as someone who deeply hates the San Francisco 49ers, I hope they sell, man, and I hope they pick the wrong dude. And then after that, you can sprinkle in Penn A in there, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, and some other really talented skill and defensive players. Yeah, Devontae, I see him in like what you would say like the quote-unquote lottery pick selection as well. So a lot of talent out there. But my take on that Niner pick is that it's pretty up in the air in terms of those three guys, Jones, Lance, and Fields.
Dude, if I'm the Niners, I mean, why? I get that Garoppolo, it might not be elite.
Jimmy G ain't it, Chief. Jimmy G ain't it.
Okay, but is Justin Fields it? Or like Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I mean, you can get a pretty much guaranteed consistent Pro Bowler if you take Pitts, Jamar Chase, or Devontae Smith. Like it would be pretty shocking if those guys busted. Like,
but they have Kittle.
That's true. But I mean, two tight ends can work, right? I mean, you've seen a lot of teams do that. I would personally take one of those skill players. I think, dude, what Devontae did to teams last year, like really good teams, was unbelievable. Remember what he did to Ohio State in the Natty in the first half, like 200 plus yards. And then he got like dinged up and just chilled after that. I mean, it was unreal. So I would personally take one of those guys and just wait till next year or the year after, only because your options would be, you know, guys who, in my opinion, would be projects. I don't see Fields or Lance just like stepping in and lighting the world on fire the way that like Herbert and Burrow did last year. I mean, Herbert and Burrow were very, very NFL ready. Trey Lance has hardly played college games at North Dakota State, and Fields, I don't know. It's totally a crapshoot for sure. It's a crapshoot. I just feel like those two guys are definitely not locks. If you could get, obviously, if you could get T-Law, you would do that in 2 seconds, but that's not going to happen. That's kind of the fascinating pick to me. And it seems like Mac Jones is gaining some steam for that pick as well. And that was something I was talking to my brother about a couple of weeks back, which is it is impossible to evaluate Alabama quarterbacks. It is impossible.
Fair.
To evaluate their NFL prospects, because I mean, think about it. They have by far the best O-line, the best receivers. Alabama's gonna, there was a Russillo stat that he dropped the other day. No school in the last 40 or 50 years had two receivers taken in the first round of the same draft, and Bama's gonna do it 2 years in a row. I mean, that's insanity. And it's not even Mac Jones's fault. It's just the reality. And then he had Najee, an unreal O-line, great coordinators. I mean, it's just, and same with like with Tua, it's just impossible, completely impossible to predict how good these guys are going to be. I mean, Tua already looks like a bust, and he had one of the prolific college careers in recent memory. I mean, I was pretty surprised he didn't win a Heisman. The only reason he didn't is probably because of Burrow, who had like the greatest year in college football history. So yeah, man, I think that's just kind of my take on this. Like it's pretty much impossible to predict how good these quarterbacks are going to be besides T-Law. I would be pretty shocked if T-Law busted out, but the other guys, I have no clue. And I watched that QB21 with Herb Street, and he did a great job. He hosted all these guys, Fields, Wilson, Lawrence, all them, Mac Jones, and did like sit downs with them. And Zach Wilson seems super legit from the neck up. Like, he just seems, I don't know, he seems like he has it. They brought Steve Young on, obviously Steve Young, BYU, and they're super well connected. And you could see why, like, after that sit down, I was like, okay, Zach Wilson, he has it. Like, I know he was beaten up on. The easy thing to say is like, oh, the best team they played was Coastal Carolina and they didn't win. But I don't know. Zach Wilson seems like he has it as well. So those are kind of my final QB thoughts there, Tony.
Here's my deal, Chief. Jimmy G ain't it, and everyone knows it. The one game Jimmy G needed to win on their Super Bowl run, he couldn't throw a ball further than 10 yards to literally win the Super Bowl. Wide open Emmanuel Sanders on a skinny post, no one within 10 yards of him, and he overthrew it by like 5 to 10 yards. Jimmy G is just Rex Grossman with better hair. He's Charlie Whitehurst, Chief. All he can do is check the ball down. You're going to roll with that guy for title hopes? Because the Niners are legit at every other position. The Niners have a great head coach. They have a great defensive setup and a great defensive mind. I know they lost Saleh, but still, they're set up to win, Chief, and they're set up to win now. So with Jimmy G being so limited at the position, I mean, that's just the quintessential position in the NFL, man. You need a quarterback that can make plays and throw the ball consistently further than 10 yards to win big games. There's only been a handful of quarterbacks over the last two decades, Trent Dilfer probably being the most famous example, of guys that are check-down machines and can't really throw the football and make all the throws that have won Super Bowls. And really, they've been carried by the rest of their team. And Jimmy G did get carried all the way to the Super Bowl, and he couldn't close because he's not good. So if you're the Niners, and everyone knows this, and the Niners know this, that's why they're trying so hard to pick a good quarterback at the third spot. You got to pick someone, man. I think you have to take a quarterback there. And I think Fields is legit. I do. Mac Jones, I believe a lot of the stuff you say about Alabama kind of overinflating his stats and his hype. Trey Lance, I honestly wouldn't do that. I think that's the riskiest of those three. But I would go with Fields or maybe Jones there. Because you know Jimmy G ain't it, Chief. You know he's not it. And you're ready to win now. And you have all the other pieces. And he's holding you back.
Well, they're clearly going to draft a quarterback because they traded up for the pick. So they're clearly – and I agree that Jimmy G ain't it. I was by no means going to bat for Jimmy G. I was just saying I had forgotten. I just was doing some research. I've forgotten that they traded up for the pick. If they hadn't, then I would say – I watched – every Florida game last year, Kyle Pitts sauced the hell out of three DBs at once every single game. Like, that guy seems like an automatic, and I know they have Kittle, but he just seems like an automatic Hall of Famer. And honestly, so does Chase and Devontae. But I feel you. I feel you. Okay, here is Shanahan today. I'll play this right now. He was asked at a presser if Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the Niners roster this Sunday, a.k.a. a couple days after the draft, a.k.a. could we be seeing a draft day trade involving Garoppolo?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
Tony.
Hey,
I don't even know if that was fake tough. That might have just been, this guy's just, he's crazy. He's on one.
No, it was fake tough. It really was. It reminds me a lot of like a Popovich answer, you know, or like a kind of like a Kyrie answer, or a Harbaugh answer is a good example, where you're just like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's actually a legitimate question, and there's ways to skirt around it if you don't want to answer it. But doing that just makes you look like a huge jackass, which right. I got to be honest. Shanahan kind of is a jackass. He wears those fitted caps, which is already fake tough. You can't wear those fitted caps like that, man. As a head, it just don't look right, Chief. Like Cousin totally Eddie in like Christmas him. Vacation, man. Clark, my hair just won't look right.
He totally looks like a guy who used to like want to be a pro wakeboarder and still wears those O'Neill flat bills. He that's what an Orange County dad looks like. He looks exactly like that.
That's a good one. He looks like one of those dudes that sags his pants still at the local mall and wears the Champs Triple XT with the 5950 cap with the sticker still on it. That's what Shanahan's looking like these days. We actually have a few friends, Chief, that wear the fitted caps. We have a few friends that still wear those.
fitted cap, like with the flat bill?
With the flat bill, yeah. We got a few buddies that still wear those. I thought that they were dead, but we got a few boys that still rock those.
I've seen those. I have two golf hats that I've bought from golf courses, and I haven't bent the bill yet. I don't mind the fitted flat bills on the golf course, but like anywhere else, I definitely do not rock that look. Tony, who are the same damn Raiders going to pass on again this year? After passing on the best linebacker in the world, well, maybe second best, Khalil Mack, if you consider him linebacker. After passing on Devin White, who are the same damn Raiders going to pass on again this year?
Just really quickly, too, I want to go back to when that draft occurred. I swear to God, you can look at the tape. You can look at all my tweets. I was begging, borrowing, and stealing for the Raiders to try to pick Devin White. I was on that from day one. And not that many people listen, to be fair. Just a lot of folks not watching LSU tape. And then, look, that guy turns out to be the best linebacker in the world. Should have been the Super Bowl MVP. Makes plays in every game. And is going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. So give me my flowers now. And then also, to answer your question for the same damn Raiders, they need a lineman, and they need a linebacker. And I want them to take the dude from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who's legit. Yeah. He's one of those linebackers like a Devin White, like a who's the linebacker for the Cowboys with the dreads?
Alden Smith, Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith, there you go. He's just like Jalen Smith, reminds me a lot of him. Just a freak athlete, really, really fast, athletic, can cover, can tackle, can play multiple positions. And you know the Raiders won't pick him. The Raiders won't pick him. The Raiders will pick either another fast wide receiver that isn't good, or a DB that isn't good, or maybe even like a running back. I don't know. But the same damn Raiders are going to sell, man. They've been selling for years, and that's why they suck. And they totally sold by giving Gruden that 10-year, $10 million a year contract, Chief. Gruden is totally selling, and can you blame him? You're getting paid $10 million a year for the next 10 years? You'd be selling too.
No state income tax?
Oh, Lord, the Raiders are selling.
Dude, you know what's not selling, though, is the Allegiant Stadium setup, folks. I was there for a quick audit about a month ago, and that place is a palace. It's an absolute palace. We'll make it out there at some point, Big Tony. They're throwing an MGM sportsbook inside of that thing. We got to go. We're going Chargers at Raiders at some point. We'll make that happen. See our guy Herbie. All right, wrapping up this NFL draft talk. Best player from this year's draft besides Trevor Lawrence ultimately will be, who do you want to take, Tony?
Man, that's a tough one. Should I go more conservative, more risky? Penn A's up there. He really is. I'd probably go between Penn A or Pitts, to be honest. Either of those two. And then if you want to throw a defender in there, but I mean, those guys are just going to be so solid. That Micah Parsons guy from Penn State, I really like. That's a linebacker, and linebackers are pretty safe. And then the other dude I throw in there is Patrick Surtain, the second from Alabama. So some combination of those four. Those guys seem pretty safe in terms of long-term investments.
Love it. Yeah, I would go Pitts just from watching all his tape last year. It was just, he was built different, as the kids say. But you know who I low key still am a high on, who's going to be a sleeper, is Travis Etienne. I think he's going to go like late first or even second now. And he's big time. Whatever team gets him is getting a steal. Okay, state of the Blazers, the same damn Blazers.
Oh, hey, come on now, hold on. Are you doing the same damn Blazers now?
No,
it's been same damn Raiders. Are we doing same damn Blazers?
We're not.
Okay.
But I'm getting close to pulling off the same damn Blazers, because I'm getting frustrated, Tony. They've lost five in a row, seven out of eight. I believe the stat is six straight home losses. Terry Stotts needs to put that $3 million Lake Oswego estate up on the market right this second, because that is a dead man walking. That is a dead man walking, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see, there's a short list of dead men walking in sports. Clay Helton and Terry Stotts are right now. They are some dead men walking. It's tough. You know, it was a bummer. Blazers started 21-7, and then, you know, they've been hoping, okay, yeah, the team will maybe even be better when Nurk comes back and when CJ comes back. That was the thought. They were like, I think they were 28-18, 30-20, something like that. And it was like, all right, now CJ and Nurk are going to come back and help Dame. CJ hasn't played to his level. Nurk definitely hasn't played to his level. And Dame, I think Dame's knees are shot. I read a Jason Quick article today, and he detailed all of Dame's injuries from this year. He's had four different times he's had knee injuries, two different times he's sat because of his hamstring. And then he had that, I don't know if folks remember, but for like a good week, maybe even two after the All-Star game, he had a wrap on his shooting hand because of a collision with Steven Adams. And this is one of the worst months Dame has had in his career the last month or so. But it's just because he's banged up and they don't have anyone else to go to because no one else is consistent on this team. And it's just tough because the Blazers were in a position to, I mean, you know, at the very least, with the way the NBA's gone this year with every single team enduring injuries, like you honestly never know you have no clue who's really going to be healthy when it matters. So this would have been like a great year for one of those like vintage 55 win Portland teams that play super well together, you know, could give anyone a run for their money. But Terry Stotts can't figure out how to coach defense, Tony. He can't. The Blazers are the worst defensive team in the league. They got run by Memphis. They lost like five, like one possession games, to be fair, like in a recent stretch. I think they lost by 1 point, 3 out of 4 games at one point. But it's just it's tough times in Rip City right now, Tony. And I know Terry Stotts is gone. That Lake Oswego house, right on Lake in Lake O, is going to be up for sale very soon here.
So, with all that in mind, my immediate reaction. My hot first question is, when can we expect the Canzano slander piece?
You know, we haven't seen it. Canzano usually slants Olshay. He doesn't slander Stotts as much. Thing is I want to be clear, Stotts is a pretty good coach. They've made the playoffs, I think, years in a row, and they're usually one of the top 5 or top 10 offenses. So, like, I'm not saying Stotts is a bad coach. I'm just saying that I know that injuries are playing a part. I'm not going to lie. Nurkic has been a complete disappointment. Zach Collins might as well not even be on the roster. And CJ's been a disappointment. Like, with all of that in mind, there's still some level of, like, defensive mindset that I feel like the coach has to get the team in, right? I mean, like, coaching is probably not a huge factor in success. I don't think there's really ever been a coach who's won a title without any star players, obviously. But I mean, there's something there on defense, right, that you can do as a coach probably. And so I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm expecting the Canzano slander piece any moment now after dropping back-to-back games to Memphis.
My only take on this whole Blazers situation is they shouldn't have traded the weekend, a.k.a. Gary Trent Jr. That guy's legit, and he was the only one that played defense on that damn team. And now he's having career nights like every night with the Raptors. He is a legit player. They should not have traded him for Norman Powell. Norman Powell wasn't going to make them better. Norman Powell don't guard nobody, man. And it's not like that was the guy to get them over the hump. You only make that trade if you actually get the guy that is going to get you over the hump. I don't know why they traded Gary Trent Jr., who, again, was the only dude that was playing D on that team and is actually legit on offense, too. That was a terrible trade, man. They were totally selling.
Okay, I'm going to correct you for just for a second. He did have that 44-point game, But he hasn't been very good for the Raptors after that. I don't know if you've seen what he's done since then. It hasn't been good. He does have two 23-point games, but one of them was very inefficient, and the other games were awful. So I'm not going all the way there with you, but I did love Gary simply because he was the weekend embodied in an NBA player in the sense of, you know, he brought some swag. He brought some dog to the team. He was the first player since Wes Matthews that brought some real defensive dog to the team. And I hear you. I do think in NBA circles, folks do consider Norman Powell still the better player. But it's a bummer. It's a bummer that we couldn't keep Gary, but he's going to go get paid. I think the biggest deal with all this, man, the biggest deal is this. It's a combination of things. Number one, you know, Zach Collins could have been OG Anunoby or Bam Adebayo or John Collins or a couple other players. That would have been a massive help to the team. Like, imagine Bam running with all these guys instead of, you know, no one, because Collins doesn't play because he's always hurt.
Oh, talking about the hypothetical pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's exactly. Tough.
Yeah, so that's massive. The other thing, though, I really think, and CJ, here's the deal with CJ. And I was talking to Pierce about this. He is a bucket. He is a bucket. And that actually, I think he's actually a better playoff player than a regular season player, because in the playoffs, it's so tough to get his own bucket. But CJ can get his own bucket in a playoff setting, which is massive. But I still think he's pretty overpaid. He got an extra $100 million tacked on to his previous deal after he had like a 40-something point game 7 in Denver to take him to the conference finals. A great game like that. You can't not be a really good player and have that happen. Like, no one accidentally has a 40-point game 7 to send your team to the conference finals. But I still think he's a little overpaid, and the Dame CJ backcourt. I think you can win at a high level of like a guy like Bam. You need three other really good defenders. You know what I mean? Because those guys, as magnificent as they are offensively, are very small and just not good defenders. So we'll see. The only two guys on the books for the Blazers after next season are Dame and CJ. I think maybe one of their random rookies who's like maybe on like a two-way deal or something. So we'll see, man. Anyways, had to get that Blazers steam off my chest, dude. It's the worst it's been in probably 7 years, which is a bummer. But Terry Stotts is going to be selling that at Lake Oswego Mansion. By the way, Terry Stotts makes $7 million a year, folks. So don't feel too bad for him.
Oh, I definitely don't. $7 million a year?
Sweet.
Maybe he could fund our Twitter live show. Shoot him an email. See if he responds. Terry, I hope this email finds you well. Real estate prices are at an all-time high, so you won't have any issue selling your Lake Oswego mansion. P.S. Norman Powell don't guard nobody, man. CJ and Dame don't guard nobody. Dude, Enes Kanter damn sure does not guard nobody, man.
What happened to Derek Jones Jr., man? I thought Derek Jones Jr. guarded somebody when he was on the team.
Apparently not. Dude, I got to just really quickly before we move on from this. Enes Kanter, I think, is the worst defender in NBA history. He is so chief. I've never seen someone so stiff in my entire life. Enes Kanter is like the tall, goofy white dude at a bar that's trying to dance to all the hip-hop songs, but is just stiff. I mean, Kanter cannot move his feet, chief. It's barbecue chicken every time at the pick and roll.
Dude, it is. And what's funny is it's definitely not for a lack of effort. It's just like his feet can't move. Like, his feet are just stones on defense. And they were playing the Nuggets the other night, and Nurk came out of the game. And Nurk's actually a decent defender. He's massive. He's slow on the perimeter, but on the block, he's a pretty solid defender. But they brought Kanter in, and they went to Jokic on the block three times in a row. I shit you not. Three and ones in a row on Kanter. Three and ones in a row.
Not just buckets, and ones?
And ones. I
got to see that tape.
Watch the tape. Watch the tape. Yeah, it's they don't guard nobody, man.
They don't guard nobody, man.
Man. Oh, man.
You Derek know, Jones, Enos Kanter,
getting paid $9 million a year, and he don't guard nobody either.
Steve, you know Enos Kanter just taking up space, man. Enos Kanter's at Wild Goose just taking up space, man.
Man. Guard nobody, man. Whatever space there is at the Goose, that place is just a factory, Tony.
Good Lord. I swear to God, that place looked like it looked like World War Z, man. Folks were just crawling on top of each other. By the way, both of us are fully vaccinated for the Warriors out there. So we're good to go, but I can't say the same for the rest of that dark red community.
Just a dark red suburb up there. All right. Oh, guard nobody, man. Oregon football spring game, Tony. You don't do nothing, man. Just sitting there on the block doing nothing.
Enos Kanter don't do nothing, man. Enos Kanter gets a bunch of cheap rebounds. That's all he's good for, man.
Just sitting there on defense, man. Can't even shuffle his feet, man. Chuck Barkley betting $100,000 on the Blazers to make the finals, man. He's got to be watching Kanter just being like, man, what was I thinking?
Chuck totally sold on that, dude. He always gasses up the Blazers and they never come through.
Oh, man. Don't guard nobody, man. Oh, the Blazers don't guard nobody. All right, Oregon football spring game. We don't really have any even deep conversations here, I don't think, but just thought I'd throw it on the docket since the Ducks are playing at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Depending on what we're doing, Tony, maybe we could take a look at it. It'd be fun to see the spring game, perhaps, or maybe I'll just catch the recap later that night. But any thoughts on your Oregon Ducks football team this spring or this upcoming season?
Our Oregon Ducks, Chief. I'm looking forward to the quarterback play. That's about it. I could not care less for spring football in general, especially right now in a pandemic world. But I am excited to see at least at a high level what the quarterbacks look like. And then none of that stuff really matters after that in spring football. So, yeah, we'll see who balls out in terms of arm talent and kind of go from there. That's my only take.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think obviously by far the intrigue of the team is who's going to play quarterback. Everyone assumes it's going to be Anthony Brown, but kind of feels like he's a high floor, low ceiling guy, like a good seven out of ten QB. But you feel like obviously Ty Thompson being the highest rated quarterback recruit in the history of the school, that's not something you just kind of put on the back burner. You got to think that he'll get in this year. I don't know. It's tough to tell without watching practice, but I'd be pretty surprised if he just like sits on the bench this whole year. I've been reading the Tyson Alger Athletic articles. Shout out to my guy Tyson, does a really good job. And Ty Thompson's been running with the twos. Sounds like he's looking pretty good. So we'll see. I don't really have any interest in spring ball either. I don't know if it's just because we're like. It was a weird, almost non-existent college football season for the regular season or what, but it just like let's fast forward to spring ball. There's not a ton that like from afar without watching practice and reading a couple like beat writer articles we can really get out of it. But I'm pumped to see Ty Thompson. So all right, and Tatis, folks, is for the culture. One of the bright young stars in any sport. 5 jacks against the Dodgers this past weekend, 2 off Kershaw, another off Trevor Bauer. Some great back and forth, by the way, between those two, Bauer and Tatis. And Tony, I don't know what you were doing on Sunday, but after I was done grocery shopping and working out, I actually cracked some sunflower seeds and watched a good portion of this Dodgers Padres game, and it was an epic game, man. It ended up being an extra innings win for the Padres, and the Dodgers blew a big lead. I forget who their closer was, but that guy totally choked. But also Tatis had like a huge hit in the ninth to to keep a rally going, And he eventually himself, I believe, scored the tying run. But just a great game. And Tatis is awesome, man. The guy's 22. He's got $300 or $400 million coming his way. And he's electric. They need to put the Padres on Sunday Night Baseball like every week if possible, because he's awesome. And it's just one of those examples. It's like you got him, you have Trout, you know, you have any handful of players for Ohtani. The Dodgers, Betts and Seager. Yeah, you could say Shohei Ohtani as well. Like, dude, we got like 7, 8, 9, 10 unbelievable baseball players in SoCal right now.
You love it. I love to see it, man. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather see Padres, some combination of Padres, Dodgers, Angels on Sunday Night Baseball every single time over these stiff old rivalries. I don't care about Red Sox Yankees anymore. I don't want to see Aaron Judge strike out for the fourth time in a game just because he swings as possibly hard. Dude, Aaron Judge swings like he's trying to take down a pinata, Chief. It's hilarious, and he rarely makes contact. I don't care about these games, man. I want to see the young stars in SoCal. I want to see Tatis hit a jack and then talk shit after. I don't care about all this baseball purist crap. Baseball's boring enough as it is, man. Thank God Tatis came along and spiced it up a little bit.
Oh, guard nobody, man. All right, you ready for some fun with Theo here?
Yeah, play the fake tough takes of the week, man.
All right, folks, up first, we have Jace Coburn, your Portland State Vikings new men's basketball coach. He was introduced formally on April 16th, earlier this month, as the new coach of the Vikings, and he had this to say.
The other thing is I'm hungry and passionate. I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. But when I get to lunch, I'm hungry. And that's just the kind of person I am. I know my 2003 Chevy Tahoe's got a lot of play this week so far, but like, it doesn't have AC and it doesn't have heat. And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness during the winter when it's cold, and I can practice my mental toughness during the summer when it's hot. That's the type of person I am.
It's going to be very cold in Portland, Oregon, about 4 months out of the year. Big guy. Tony, assess.
I think that this is in April. We still got a long way in 2021, but I think that this is the fake tough quote of the year. I don't even need to see May through December because this takes it. I mean, what is he talking about? That is just utter nonsense. That's the kind of shit that you hear and you're like, all right, not only do I not believe one word of this, but I like you less now. I mean, who are you trying to fool, Chief? I don't eat breakfast. I'm hungry. Well, you're going to tell your players that and then they're all of a sudden going to play better? Just get some wins, man. Just win. That is the toughness of the job. That'll show mental toughness more so than you talking about not having AC in your car. Nobody cares about that stuff, man. It just sounds corny. It makes you look way worse than if you were to just say nothing at all. If you were to go up there and just talk a bunch of coach speak, all right, keep it moving. Then we'll see if you actually can do your job. Chief, but to get up there, man, and just act like a total jackass. What are we doing? What are we doing here, man? That's fake tough, Chief.
So a couple things here. Number one, it was a tough watch. It was a tough watch. It was funny, but it was a tough watch. I got to tell you, folks, that's a tough job. Portland State men's basketball head coach. I mean, you're in the Big Sky. Portland State's a commuter school in Southwest Portland. It doesn't exactly scream like sports culture, and their football team has been pretty bad too. It's just a kind of a lifeless athletic department, and so it's tough. So what I'm getting at is I only see where he's coming from in the sense that like you got to be wacky and different to win at Portland State, but I don't see that being the approach. I mean, if I was a high school kid watching that, I'd just be like, oh man, what are we doing? You know, and this guy's 37, by the way, young guy with limited head coaching experience. He's been like a longtime assistant. So, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things, like, you kind of got to prove yourself through your work as opposed to through your words and sound like a motivational speaker. Like, he kind of sounded like he was 65 and had reeled off 15 straight Big Sky titles there or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't sound like he was 30. He didn't sound like he was 37 and like trying to prove himself, if that makes sense.
Portland State went 9-13 last year. If he were to just say nothing at all and keep it moving, okay, no matter what happens, it's Portland State. Nobody cares. Nobody expects you to win. It's not like the Chief, it's not like the city of Portland is coming to your office with pitchforks if you don't win.
Canzano's not busting out any new slander articles.
Canzano isn't writing even 200 words on your program. I bet, like the last 5 months, Canzano. When was the last time Canzano wrote anything about Portland State? Anything? I guarantee.
It was when former football coach Bruce Barnum was boinking one of his assistants' wives. Seriously.
Wait a minute. Did you just say boinking?
Boinking, dude.
Bruce Barnum was boinking. That is an incredible iteration, folks.
Bruce Barnum was boinking one of his assistants' wives. Look it up.
That can't be true. That is a real story?
Dude, and he stayed on staff making like 250 grand a year, dude. Just completely out of control.
That is a real story. His assistant.
Yeah, here we go. I pulled this up in 2 seconds. Bruce Barnum was accused of having an inappropriate relationship with Tara Carrillo, who worked in external events and was an administrator for the PSU athletic department. Yeah, there were like a couple of these, actually. Yep.
Jesus.
Yep.
What the hell?
Yep. Yeah, there were some actually like legitimate sexual harassment investigations too. So, yeah, that's the last time Portland State got any pub. Yeah, let me put it this way. Like, the Oregonian does not hire like a beat writer to cover Portland State athletics, folks.
Bruce Barnum was boinking. God, that is just incredible wordplay, folks. Anyway, back to my point. They went 9-13 last year. The Portland State men's basketball team did. 9-13. This guy has now put a national target on his back for just an embarrassing introductory press conference. So when Portland State inevitably goes sub 500 next year, they're not going to go above 500, folks. He's going to get clowned on, right, Chief? I mean, he basically just created a non-existent problem for himself. Because if they do poorly, no one cares. No one has cared. But now, folks are going to bring that. Folks are going to dig that video up, and they're going to play it after every loss, Chief. And you know what? I might be one of those folks.
By the way, we saw it made SVP. I was just watching before. We were watching before Van Pelt broke it down for a second. And he was like, come on, man, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. All right, Tony, let's keep it moving ourselves. Well, let's run back that Kyle Shanahan soundbite one more time.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
Big Bro, Tony.
That really is some Kyrie Irving stuff right there. That's some Harbaugh. That's that? Harbaugh mixed. That's Harbaugh mixed with Kyrie Irving.
It is. No, yeah. I totally get the Harbaugh. And Kyrie. I mean, it's just, it's one of those like wackadoo answers where you're just like, okay, all right. Anyways, moving on. Because he had like, you can't see it, but he had like a crazy like, I'm gonna kill you look on his face to that reporter. Which I'm sure he's tired of answering the Garoppolo questions, but let's be honest. They traded up all those picks to get the third pick. Tony, you would imagine they're going to draft a QB and then trade Garoppolo, right? I mean, I think that's got to be the plan.
Yeah, Jimmy G ain't it, man. We talked about this at the top of the show. This really does remind me of Harfraud, though. Chief, remember when Harfraud got embarrassed by Ohio State again, yet again, in 2019? And a legitimate reporter asked him a legitimate question after the game about what is it that he needs to do to actually compete in these games, because they were blown out again for like the fourth time in 5 years. And Harfraud gets all defensive and he goes, I'll answer your questions, but not your insults. I mean, come on, man. These are legitimate questions.
Do you remember when the Herd hung up on Harbaugh?
Yeah, that was hilarious because Harbaugh was totally selling.
That was really good content. Yeah, that was back when the Herd was at ESPN and Harbaugh was giving them the I guess. And that was it. That was like all he would say, like on the phone during the interview. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And that was like all he would say, and then the Herd just hung up on him. Oh man. Yeah, I know. Shanahan's kind of always been like a guy on edge, you know. This is very on brand for Shanahan. He definitely got plenty of Harbaugh in him.
He's like Harbaugh too, Chief, where neither of them have actually won the big game. They're good coaches, but they haven't won the big game. And when people ask him about that, they get defensive. I can't stand that, man. Come on. I can't stand that.
I don't know if anyone else saw this today, but I was watching The Jump on my lunch break and Stephen A was on there. I'm not sure why. I've never seen him on there before, but they just brought him on just to act a little bit. And he was arguing back and forth with RJ and Robert Horry. And he goes, I would trade Andrew Wiggins for a bag of cookies in a very like serious Stephen A tone. It was just funny. I couldn't find the soundbite. I searched for it on Twitter for like a good 10 minutes. Couldn't find it, but that was going to be our final piece of audio. Just kind of vintage Stephen A acting, Tony. And it was funny. I mean, not the best take, but funny acting from Stephen A.
Well, you know why he's on there, right, Chief? On The Jump?
Just giving some acting lessons.
They're shorthanded. They don't have Paul Pierce anymore.
They
need folks to fill in because Paul Pierce was selling.
Yeah, he was. He was. I know. I got a buddy who works at LAPC, and they've had shows canceled because they've been short bodies before. That's a great point by you. I think Paul Pierce is probably hanging out in Calabasas and doing just fine.
Oh, I'm sure Paul Pierce is doing A-OK. Man, that IG Live was wild, though. We were trying to go IG Live tonight for our show, and let me tell you something. Folks, it would have looked a lot different from that IG Live that Paul Pierce had a few weeks ago. I mean, Chief, what was going on there, man? What was going on there in Paul Pierce's IG Live, man?
I think those were hookers, I think. Either that just... hired masseuses wearing basically nothing, and it looked like he had a bunch of boys there with him though, which was kind of an odd scene. I don't know, man.
Oh, man.
Paul Pierce got himself a ring. He got himself a bag. He don't guard nobody anymore, man.
Paul Pierce isn't worried about breaking down the trade deadline. Come on, man.
Yeah. They're asking Paul to bring his top five free agents to the table on The Jump, and he's like,
he's not worried about that.
He's like, I ain't even worried about that.
You think for even a second Paul Pierce is doing any sort of research for the show? Man? You think Paul Pierce is losing sleep over what he's going to say to Windhorst when Windhorst asks him about his top free agents? Come on. No. Paul Pierce don't do no research, man.
Paul Pierce is chilling, man. He don't do nothing, man. All right, Tony, let's keep it moving. You got a couple final segments for us here. What do you got?
Hey, real quick, Steph Curry, the guy just never gets enough love, man. This month of April is insane, Chief. 38.2 points per game in April. 52.9% shooting from the floor and an insane 47% from three. And he's made 10 or more threes in four different games. Just, again, Chief, during the month of April alone. I mean, come on, man. And this is without Klay. All the attention is focused on Steph. Ain't nobody guarding Draymond from three, man. He's not shooting that. Wiggins, you heard Stephen A. earlier, trading for a bag of cookies. Kelly Oubre can't shoot. They're starting a guy named Mark Mulder, who I didn't know played basketball until this year. And then the random other hodgepodge of plumbers that they throw in the game. Those guys don't shoot.
Juan Toscano Anderson ain't pulling from 30 feet, man.
Bro, those guys aren't shooting. They're not hitting open threes. They're not even hitting. They're not even making layups sometimes. And Steph is out there doing this, Chief. The guy never gets enough love. I'm glad folks are actually seeing how good this guy is. And again, all without Clay. This is some insane stuff, man. The Twitter slander for Steph, dude, that came to a screeching halt after this month. Folks went back to their mom's basement on the keyboard to slander someone else after this hot month of April from Curry.
Are they the 10 seed right now? Where are they?
They're either the 9th or the 10th. I think they're one game above 500. They'll get in that playoff spot, that play-in spot, I should say. And then from there, it is what it is. Again, without Clay, man, it's just so tough, and especially with the rest of these G League guys that they randomly throw in every night. But, hey, at the very least, folks have been eating some words about Curry, man. He's been saucing everyone all year long, and especially in the month of April.
What's your outlook for this team next year with Clay?
Man, it just depends on where he's at. I really, really hope that he can get back to even like 80-90%. I doubt that he'll be the defender that he was, but if he can just hit open shots, that's already such an improvement over the roster that we got, man. So when he comes back...
That is true, yeah. I guess it might be kind of tough for him to get back to like truly where he was, just given an ACL and an Achilles. That's true.
Yeah, that's tough, man. And it's not like he's trying to lock down dudes at the local LA Fitness. These are NBA guys, and Clay's used to guarding the best dude on the team every night. So that'll be tough, man. Hopefully Wiseman improves and stays healthy. God, I really wish the Warriors would have picked LaMelo. Really wish they would have picked LaMelo, man. That would have been awesome. That guy was clearly the best player all along. I don't know why they didn't pick him, but oh well. But yeah, next year, Clay back. Wiseman improved. Obviously, Steph still in his prime. Draymond, for the love of God, just get some shots up during the offseason. And they'll probably be back to like, you know, 3-4 seed again in the West if all goes well. But again, that's kind of a big if on some of those things.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Do you think Draymond's decline is real, or you still got faith that he's got another couple good years in him?
No, it's just his shot. Everything else is elite. Draymond is still a great basketball player. And folks don't really understand basketball at a high level when they talk about Draymond being bad offensively. Draymond is still an amazing passer and sets great screens and moves. It's just the shooting, which is a big part of offense, but it's not the entire part. It is not all offense, okay? Just shooting. So Draymond's still an amazing offensive player in the other parts of the game. And then defensively, obviously, he's still one of the five best defenders in the world. So Draymond's decline has only been from his shooting, which sucks because shooting is important. If he could just somehow, some way find that shooting form that he had in like 15, 16, 16, 17 from three, the team would be vastly better. I don't know what happened, but he's got to figure that out in the offseason, man.
Got to take off the backpack, man. Don't guard nobody, man. No, I think, I agree with you. Yeah, he runs the break super well. Passes super well. Obviously, really good defender. Would have been awesome if Dame could have played alongside him for these last 7 years. But yeah, no, I feel that. I feel that, Doug. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see where the Dubs are at next year if they can get Clay back. I could see them. I could see them in that 3 or 4 range too. Yeah, just a lot of unpredictability from that standpoint. All right, who's selling, Big Tony?
Man, I love this segment. This is definitely going to be a staple on the show, Chief. Kevin Love is totally selling on the Cavs. Did you see that clip of him tonight versus Toronto?
Did not.
The ref throws the ball for him to inbound. Kevin Love just kind of slaps at it, but it's a live ball because the ref threw it to him and Kevin Love throws it back in bounds. The Raptors pick it up and they throw it to an open guy and he cans a three, and then Kevin Love just kind of like sulks down the court. Kevin Love is totally selling, man. He's selling. I get it. You're on a shitty team and, you know, that sucks, but you have a ring, you have a ton of money, and you're married to like one of the most attractive girls in the world. What's up, man? You really got to sell this hard to get out? I guess that is the name of the NBA, but come on, man. You got to give a better effort than that.
I think they are intentionally tanking, to be fair, but that is funny. That is funny. Come on, K-Love. Yeah, I was also thinking about like who are the teams that are tanking, because dude, one of the great mysteries of the NBA this year is why the Raptors are randomly like really bad. Like they've been like the 11 or 12 seed like in the East the whole year, and like the East is horrendous outside of like the really good teams. And the Raptors are just totally selling, and they've been playing their good players too. And like, I think I read a stat the other day in a Windhorse piece that the Raptors actually have a positive point differential this year, and they're like 10 games under 500. It is completely bizarre how that's happened. I think they're like, they either are just, I mean, they got off to that terrible start, so that hurts. They've probably been about a 500 team since that, like, whatever, like 2-11 start it was. So that actually, that's fair. But yeah, I don't know. That was just, that's so weird, man. Some of the teams in the East are just totally selling right now for the draft lotto. But yeah, we'll have to do an NBA pod at some point before the playoffs start. Got a couple others left here as we wrap it up on who's selling, Big Tony.
I couldn't think of another one for current events. The Kevin Love one was so obvious, I had to throw it up there tonight. What about some of these all-time greats, though, Chief? Chip Kelly at UCLA and Larry Scott at Pac-12 Networks. One is
Champagne
still...
Champagne Larry.
Limo Larry and Champagne Scott. Two of the all-time nicknames. One still has his job. The other is soon to be kicked out of the door come summer. Chief, are these two the biggest salesmen in Pac-12 history?
Champagne Scott definitely is.
Okay, that's fair.
Champagne Scott bamboozled the entire Pac-12 university presidents collective group that are called the Pac-12 CEO group that are his bosses. He completely bamboozled them into a $5 million a year salary. And by the way, that like doesn't even account for the fact that he essentially expenses everything he does in his life. So that $5 million salary goes way deeper than what the $5 million would indicate. It's probably more like an $8 million salary. No grease. And yeah, man. I mean, it's just he's been selling all along. I'm always gonna bet my guy Chip. I do find it odd that UCLA hasn't like picked up too much steam. They actually had a decent year last year. They really could have beaten Oregon at Oregon, but I don't know. I don't even remember what their record was last year, but I remember thinking like, all right, like it feels like they're maybe kind of headed towards something. And I think their new AD, that Martin Jarman guy, seems like he's doing a world-class job. And obviously with them making the Final Four in men's basketball, that'll, you know, to a degree help the overall, like, you know, marketability of the athletic department. But I'm not going to say Chip is selling, but I do find it just like stopped running the spread offense once he got to UCLA. Like I have theories behind this. Like I think that he knew his defense was really bad and his O-line sucked. So he thought if he ran the spread, he'd just go three and out every time in 20 seconds. But dude, you got to do what got you there, man. So Chip is selling to a degree, but I'm always going to back my guy. But Champagne Scott is salesman of the decade of the 2010s.
From the Oregonian's John Canzano, January 21st, 2021, quote, "The new age presidents and chancellors in the Pac-12 conference decided they'd finally seen enough of Larry Scott's tired act. They drained the marble soaking tub on Wednesday night and let the commissioner circle the proverbial drain," end quote. John Canzano, the Oregonian.
That was deep. Sounded like you were reading that by a campfire.
It's always something super, like, the slander is so deep from Canzano, especially when it comes to Kate Brown or Scott. You know what? Just really quickly, before we transition to the very, very last part of our show, I got a take for you. I got a take for you, Chief. I think that Kate Brown is the new Scott. In Canzano's eyes, he always has to have the top person to slander, right? He always has to have Exhibit A, the main suspect. I think Kate Brown is now that person that Scott has departed.
I think you're right. At least if you pay attention to what's gone on in the last week on Canzano's personal column page on Oregon Live. Kate Brown is the new target, largely because there are these bizarre rules surrounding like high school athletics, and Oregon high school basketball still isn't happening, or at least wasn't as of a couple of days ago. And track athletes have to wear masks still. And Canzano was calling her out. And I think actually, to his credit, I think she reversed that outdoor mask rule for high school athletes like literally today or something. So, I think she's officially on the Canzano shit list. She's public enemy number one. Because, I mean, let's be honest, man. Canzano got a lot of clicks off of some Champagne Larry articles in this last year. I mean, those were easily his most popular articles, was Champagne Larry slander. So that's his top content going out the door.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree. I truly believe that. I think Shut It Down Kate Brown is going to see the bulk of his slander moving forward. And then when she finally, I guess, takes the shackles off of the state of Oregon, and when COVID gets better in Oregon and globally, they'll find someone new.
And, you know, this new commissioner who is yet to be named, I know the Pac-12 said they're paying like a search firm. That person's public enemy number one, probably always, for Canzano and his boy Wilner. I'm sure those guys are on a conference call just hashing it out right now, talking about who's the new public enemy. All right, Tony, couple of shout outs to end the show here.
Hey, shout out to the fans. We've been gone for a minute. We've been super busy, but we never left, and we want you to know that. And we know that you never left, and we really appreciate that. So we're back. We're going to be doing shows more consistently. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in always. And you guys are everything to us, man. So just really appreciate all the love and support, and we'll keep these pods coming your way.
We really appreciate it, folks. We really do. Yes, thanks for listening. We will, as always, be on SoundCloud. We're going to try to incorporate some video elements into the show, if possible, in the future here, and definitely at least hop on some live platforms, whether that's Twitter or Instagram or the like, and just keep cranking out that content, man. We know it's the name of the game, just consistency and content, and appreciate you guys listening. Definitely hit us up. Let us know what you thought of the show. I am at PC Highfield on PC underscore Highfield on Twitter. Hit us up on Tony in the Field on Twitter as well. Appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you next week.